Hello, and welcome to the 7th podcast for the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. So the first thing that I want to get through is the contact information again, because I've given it before, maybe not quickly enough. So I want to do that first and foremost so that if you need it again, it's going to be right at the beginning. Now, my email address is xoisctehe@hotmail.com. And with some of you who are listening through John Mountain's Written in Blood blog, there are the places where he has you download the episodes. And in any of those boxes, I would love to hear feedback, especially what made you laugh or what was insightful. Even if it's part of the intros, that's fine. Just anything at all. It really does help. Like I've said over and over again, a little bit goes a long way. And the other thing that you could do, which is sort of silly, but at the same time, it is an anonymous way to give feedback, is go to the fanfiction site and you can write in any name that you want. You can even just say podcast listener that you're not interested in the text, but that you just wanted to give feedback to the stories or to the podcast. You would find my name there. You know, you would go to another Dark Shadows vignette that I've written called 200 Years. And you can just click on my name and you find my profile, find Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, and just start going to the first chapter. And if you're a guest reviewer, you could probably go there multiple times to the same chapter. I only have chapter one up there right now because I'm waiting for reviews. And then try to write something, if you can, in the box that says name. It doesn't matter what it is, just because if you don't, it'll just say guest, and it just, it's weird. So that is the other option you have. Just go to fanfiction.net and go to my profile and find Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows and just right away, you know, and I'll find it, I'll post it, you know. That's the most anonymous way that you can do that. You don't have to put in an email address, which in a lot of cases, even on the Written in Blood blog or any blog, it's not revealed. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. I'm not even sure you need to put in a real email address. Who knows? So those are your three options. And I also definitely want to give a huge thank you to John Mountain, who does the Written in Blood blog. I found him in a kind of weird way. I was looking for images. I found one that I liked. And then I found a review he did for the film last year that wasn't hostile, which was pretty nice. It was just about how he never really saw the show and was curious about the film. And then, of course, knowing him, if you're listening and you read his blog, his complaint about the Dark Shadows movie was it wasn't, like, gross enough or something like that. It was just, it wasn't bloody or gory enough. Which, you know, after looking over his blog and how gruesome some of the things that he reviews and some of the pictures that he has up, he is very dedicated to horror. And but at the same time, he is, for anyone who has helped me out with this, when I contacted him, it was immediate and it was devoted, just like with the blog. It was, I want to help, and very nice guy. I mean, incredibly, it's been an honor to get to know him. He was very quick, actually, all to the point where I feel a little like I need to move faster. But of course, I've had this cold for over a month. That, of course, makes voice acting and recording impossible. If you noticed in episode 6, Roger had my cold. It wasn't just him drinking all that brandy in the coffee pot. So, there's that. So those are your options. You have three very simple options. My email address, going to fanfiction.net, and you can say, I don't care about the text. I just want to tell you what I laughed at, or what I thought was good. And try to be as specific as you can, because I know it's good. You know, I'm trying. I'm not boasting. I've listened to it and I've written it and I've gotten better at it. And I still laugh at a lot of the items. So I don't need to be told. Good job. Because, you know, it sounds really haughty and really conceited, but it's just not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for what you laughed at, or what you found insightful, or a favorite scene, or how a character was done, something like that, you know, lines, something like that, anything. And I know that it can be a little difficult, but, you know, sometimes something will just come up, you know. And if you can't even do that, just say, I am really, really enjoying this. Something to the effect of that. And, of course, if you would like me to read your review, or what you liked, or maybe something else, I'm happy to do it. Yeah. That's kind of what podcasting is all about, everybody sharing information with each other. I have a strong feeling from the long list of evidence I've researched that some person or persons out there want this podcast and this story. And I don't know who you are, but at some point, I hope this reaches you, and I really hope I see that it does. However, when I look at the data from various Dark Shadows fans, I'm not seeing too many who would. Now, on to the fun summary about this episode. Then I have to get through some heavier items, and that's it. Again, this story, a rewrite, using material from the TV program more or less alone, like I said, there was that one quotation from a Marilyn Ross novel, along with the other TV programs and films on their own. In the original Dark Shadow show, Cassandra had been wreaking more havoc, and Elizabeth had been a victim to a premature burial. Skipped. And really, just as well. We spent so much time fretting over Elizabeth in her tomb that when she finally came out, all we got was a moment of thrill. And then, by the next episode, she was back in form, and everyone behaved as though nothing had happened at all. Pfft, why not just skip it? Plus, the beauty of this episode is that, instead of Barnabas and Roger answering the door to Nicholas Blair, it's Elizabeth, and she is not amused. Plus, never invite a devil into your home, and technically she doesn't. It's not an invitation, just a courtesy. So Nicholas Blair, as self-assured as ever, has likely gotten some wrong information of how his time in Collinwood was going to pan out. Ah, at last a male character that didn't come out for the greater good from fan mail, so I've seen. Yay! And though Angelique has had her foibles, like I say, I do have my yearning to see her better. But when it comes to Nicholas Blair, I show no mercy. And that is helpful to the story, of course. In the same way Sir Simon Milligan would get goofy results from his attempts at dating and evil, I think our hosts have managed to project that odd facet of theirs in Nicholas Blair's direction. And boy, do they enjoy it. As they say, Angelique is hot, but Nicholas Blair is just plain slime. And thank goodness that he is. There's also some more Tony and Carolyn fun, to which they are blushingly interrupted. Then Sam Evans and Captain Greig are working out ideas, and yes, there is a swear word in here, but it does make the joke, and I'm told it's pretty light considering the current entertainment world. We also find David trying to locate Sarah with that London Bridges song, and that's a big ouch for anyone who remembers the show. That song's overexposure on us has likely been a doozy. So, you may be pleased that eventually that will not be the song that brings her back. In our long history of music, there are a number of old tunes from the 1700s that can be found. However, David shares our distaste for that overplayed London Bridges. And what so many may be waiting for, the Addams Family. You know, they're actually harder to write for than I thought. So we only have a few snippets. With the Addams, it's a hard puzzle trying to keep them on par with what contradiction of normality they're shooting for. Consistency is a rough terrain when it comes to writing for them. Now, the writer, Nat Perrin or Nat Perron, was a heavy curator of the Addams Family program. And for those who don't know, He also did a lot of writing for the Marx Brothers. I hope that's enlightened anyone who ever wondered why Gomez Adams had so many characteristics that are similar to Groucho Marx. Yikes. Definitely had my work cut out for me here. Also, there is a delightful radio drama from long ago that was redone with impersonators by the BBC in the early 1990s called Flywheel, Shyster, and Flywheel. And you can find copies on archive.org, so hope someone is pleased to hear that information. I was shocked I hadn't found it before, since it's from 1991. So if you want more Marx Brothers, even just two, you can get hours of them in that performance. Obviously, with an audio program, there is, sadly, no Harpo, except a few horn honks, but that's nice too. Phew. Oh dear, more silliness. In the Pit of Ultimate Darkness skit, Sir Simon Milligan once hosted at an Italian eatery, so I decided he'd open our program at another eating establishment. It's so bizarre how those brief skits have really managed to wrangle themselves into Collinsport here. And with the town, we're going to see more of the non-Collinwood aspects. Here we have the bartender, variously known as Bob, Punchy, and Andy. So I eventually give our bartender the name Robert Punctilius Andrews. That makes up for all the different nicknames. And as for nicknames, I also made up the clocks as Old Quaverton. Hey, we have to watch that clock all the time, as it watches everyone else. Might as well dub it with some handle, right? Goofy blue whale action to come between Barnabas and Maggie. If it's not too wacky an idea, it's likely that chap can dance. Plus, if anyone hits on the blue whale style music, it's Santo and Johnny. So S-A-N-T-O and Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y. I had been so burnt on one of their songs years ago, but when I wrote this episode, it somehow flashed into my mind, and I suddenly knew what old duo of the 1960s had that blue whale sound. So I highly recommend the album Around the World. It doesn't have Sleepwalk, but the whole album is great. Plus, on its own, it is the perfect fit for a compact disc. So if you can, go and purchase that. 80 minutes of true blue whale happiness. And I managed to squeeze in Hoffman and Stokes adventuring out to get started on helping Willie Loomis. I did check the time period for when the film My Fair Lady was released, so the reference Stokes makes is possible. That film was a big hit. The two of them could have seen it, and I like the idea they might view it together. I'd like to thank my dear friend, Mare, to whom this episode is dedicated. She heard a rendition I had made of this particular episode and loved it so much she was ready for more. Another example of constructive praise making good things happen. Thank you so very much, my dear. Plus, this is the episode that is worth repeating. I really hope you love Where We Drop Kick, Nicholas Blair. And if you do, there is way more to come when we turn our attention to him. Also, the signs/coincidences are coming. I think it was about the time of episode 8 or 9 that they started popping up for me. And though some may be trifles, as Sherlock Holmes has said, there's nothing more important than trifles. And speaking of trifles, I will probably be waiting quite a while now to do more of these online because I've got 101 downloads right now as of the date January 15th, 2014, and I started the podcast in November. In fact, I did those 6 episodes pretty much in 1 month, which is why this episode 7 is so slow. I was really wiping myself out. So I think I need to explain the process of how this is done and why I need the feedback so much. When I talked about getting good news, it was me being very hopeful that it was coming. But having posted the first episodes in early November 2013, that's almost 2 months here. And as I've done before, let's see if we can learn a lesson from this, because with online interaction and the new devices many people are using now, something has changed about communication. Maybe we can see how to unravel this problem. This is a lot of work for me to do. There is not only the voice acting, but there's also repeated performances of that to try and get the voices down, to try to get the inflections right. There is also the program that I'm using where I have to, even with the intros, go in, edit it, noise clean, you know, and in a lot of cases, especially some of the caricatures I do, in order to focus on those, I will sometimes do one character separate, and then I have to go in through the basic read and replace those lines. And then, after finally getting all that straightened out, I have to find the clips and the sound effects, and that's why sometimes I just voice them like door opens. So there is all of that work involved. And because there are too many fandoms involved with this, there's nothing I can do but do this for free. I can't get money out of this. So I'm putting this out there for feedback. I mean, that's all I have to gain from this is feedback, laughter, and communication with my listeners and my readers. That's the only purpose. In fact, as I said in the intro for number four, I don't do fan fiction. And I mean, I do now, obviously, but I'm doing it like a lot of things. There's been a lot of stagnation in my life, and then when I do something, I go all out. So, with the fan fiction idea, certainly not just Dark Shadows, it's everything. You know, I'm putting it all in there, you know, as much as I can. So, there is no monetary gain out of this. In fact, I'm a little worried about getting sued. But I'm hoping that the worst problem that would happen is somebody would say, oh, no, and finger wag, and then it would all be gone, except for possibly my personal home enjoyment. So there's also a bit of risk, too, in trying to share this with everyone. And feedback is very important, not just to me, but to get into the habit of giving it to other people who do hard work. Or even just put something out there to be enjoyed. Because there are benefits to recalling what was laughed at or telling me what you enjoyed. When I finally finished writing a number of episodes, I sent a voice version out to a friend. This episode, in fact. And she said she enjoyed it so much she would pay to have them all on CD. It was that good. So, with that encouragement, I'd come home from work and make them. Then I listened to them and realized how good they were and how much better I could make them. Then that helped it to grow. Listening and reading in tandem is a great way to get details straightened out as well, by the way. Yeah, it's a good thing if you can do it. After that, I got one reviewer at fanfiction.net, and I must say she reviews a lot. And helps a lot of writers, not from a ton of pointers or anything, but just reading the material and voicing something. So, thank you, Helena. We really need to follow your example more. As soon as she started following it, I got more excited about it. It got better. I did more research, went over the details, figured out how to get more characters involved. Then, as I've said, I got some interesting encouragement from the ethers. Quote unquote, which really didn't pick up until episode 8 or so, but they did. Then I got the hang of the traffic graph on the fanfiction site and did a double take. Wait. This many people have been reading my story all this time for months and months, and they didn't speak up? Something is really wrong here. I knew it couldn't be some ugly American problem because it was across the globe, too. Really, something. So I started looking around to see if anyone else had that problem at the site. Not that I could find. Plenty of conversation and reviews over stories elsewhere. Then I recently finally got a guest review and I discovered, oh, look! I could have gotten those the whole time! Well, something is really wrong. So, yes, as you likely hear in my voice,
I'm not too patient with this lack of encouragement anymore.
Still, I must tell you, it is worth your while, as stated before. When I got the encouragement, do you know what happened? I went from writing an episode a month to writing 4 in October of 2013. So it works, and I'm not kidding. And if you like this and you want more, it really is up to you. Friends listening? Fans? Strangers? Audio files? I want to feed this thing, and I want to keep it coming on a regular basis. And if you want to keep it coming on a regular basis, it is up to you. It's just a roll of the dice. But the day may come when you've got something to lose. And just when you think you're done paying dues, you say to yourself, dear God, what have I done? And hope it's not too late, cause tomorrow may never come. Reach for the sky, cause tomorrow may never come. Reach for the sky, cause tomorrow may never come. Take this moment. Try if you can to make it last. Don't think about no future. Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, Episode 7. The Blair Warlock Projected. Dedicated to Meredith, and response to kind bestowal of Mini Candleset. Good evening, and welcome once again to the Pit of Ultimate Darkness. Tonight, conveniently located at the coffee shop. Yeah! Oh, hose it. It's not all that great. We don't know if our star performers of this diner will even make a guest appearance. But do not lose hope. This diner is famous for its cheap menu, genuine maritime atmosphere, and its capacity for evil. Yay. Excuse me, waitress? Waitress? Wait. Oh, see. See? Evil. Evil waitress will receive an unholy tip.
Oh. I'm sorry, sir. What did you...
Oh, Miss Evans, forgive me. I didn't realize it was you.
How did you know my last name?
Well, I come in here rather often, if perchance only to spy.
Spy? What on earth would you have to spy on in this old place? Oh.
Oh, only for those quality beverages you happen to serve to the more deserving.
Well, I don't know quite what you mean, but I must assume that you...
walk alone upon the path of...
evil?
Yes, that's right. Well, maybe that's not right, but, well, what was it you ordered?
Poached eggs on toast, good woman.
My name is Maggie, Mr. M.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm... well, I'm sure I've been called other names, though. Good woman and sure. I can't quite recall. Did you want coffee with that, Sir Simon?
Decaf, if you please. I've been a bit stressed out.
Anything else?
Thank you. That will be all.
Josette. Coming right up. Beg your pardon?
Josette. I mean, Miss Dupre.
Wait a minute. Have you been talking to my father?
Maybe. That depends on which one you mean.
Oh, I get it now. I bet you're the reason Pop's been so peculiar lately. Or maybe you and he have this joke set up to taunt me.
What do you mean, madam?
Him and that painting, pretending to share a bottle of whatever it's called, and randomly speaking French words, when he's barely learned any French in all his life.
Oh, no, that's not me.
No, I am merely a puppet of prescience in this little sphere, though you must admit, my addresses to you sounded a wee bit familiar. Perhaps a touch. I'm sure it has something to do with the history of this town, of which I've had to study up for my other job. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll bring in your order.
Of course. And for my minions of the transistor, I can allay my fears that all of that confounding dialogue helped to keep her from asking why my rather large desk has replaced the little booth that was along this wall earlier. Why? What's this? A rolling service?
Your order, sir. Poached eggs on toast, decaffeinated coffee, and...
manservant Hecubus?
Yeah!
Ah! Here to serve, master. In satin. And lovingly displayed upon this trolley, just for you.
Hecubus! Not my nose! None of that now!
Oh, but that adorability in you must be shown affection somehow. As for me, I must return this trolley, so if you don't mind.
Indeed, and up I go!
Enjoy.
Indeed, and so we must catch up our audience with the Collinsport doings.
Master, are you going to eat that?
Hands off! Now, where was I?
A fascinating game of cribbage between Dr. Hoffman and Barnabas Collins, and sneaking suspicions of Victoria Winter's origins from Elizabeth Stoddard and Roger Collins. Peter Bradford and Victoria Winter's escaping the Bates Motel, the better to propel themselves forward into unknown territory, and...
and?
The mysterious history of Sam Evans' previous lifetime, coupled with the ghost of Captain Daniel Gregg of Schooner Bay.
Well, I shan't wait any more. If Barnabas Collins comes in, can you tell him I'll be at the Eagle Tavern?
Don't you mean the Blue Whale?
Isn't that what I said?
Oh, yes, of course.
And my unholy tip?
Oh! There. How would 12 half-dollars suit you?
Oh, my. Thank you, sir.
I think I know who'll be buying the drinks tonight. Ah, it's so good to see a young woman in such a happy state. And now, join us for the continuation of this epic alteration into the pit.
of ultimate dark shadows.
Welcome back, as you've patiently waded through the crashing ocean waves. Henceforth, we lead you to a telephone call.
Number, please.
Yes. Can you connect me to Collinsport 4099, please? Thank you. Hello? Mr. Peterson? Yes, this is Sam Evans calling. What do you mean, who? Sam Evans! You and Miss Stoddard dropped off a painting at my cottage at a late hour so I could clean it. Yes, I have cleaned it, but I haven't the foggiest idea who it belongs to. As it is. Uh-huh. Who? Mrs. Muir? Has she called you? Why are you telling me about her dog? No, just wondering. What? No. Well, let me put it this way. I don't recall that I was working on anything before you arrived that night. Yep. All I know is that Barnabas Collins owes me a whopping sum of dinero. Uh-huh. Well, I'd like you to come by. Huh? You don't have a date with Miss Stoddard? Do you need to? Oh, well, I understand, since it was a dual venture. Well, make a date with her, old man. Jiminy! Do you want me to orchestrate it and be your chaperone or something? Ah, that's fine. Well, considering that routine visits to anyone's house and getting them to arrive on time is usually laced with the, oh, wait, but this scenario, especially in this town, let's shoot for 9:30 tonight. No, no. Don't think of it as arriving later. Think of it as shooting for 9:30 p.m., okay? All right. I'll expect you then, with a huge volume of Proust. Very good. See you then. Goodbye.
Andre? Phew. I could just tap you on the shoulder, but I suppose it would be just as startling.
Tell me, sir, why didn't you just ask me for Mrs. Muir's whereabouts and where to take the painting?
Captain Gregg.
Daniel, if you please, my good man. Don't forget our friendship.
Well, I do feel like I need to use a title or something since you're always calling me by an ex-name. It's a bit confusing, Captain. I can't say one night of sleep, or even two, would completely merge these past-life scenarios I've been putting myself through.
Aye, sir. It is much easier as a ghost, I'd say.
I remember.
You know, I do remember. I suppose from what you say, it was from getting so close to becoming a ghost again, myself.
Well, let me tell you, Andre, it's much preferable to me as things are currently. We wouldn't be of much use to each other on my sphere, other than company and sharing old times.
Yes, I agree.
I must say, Daniel, it does help me to reconcile all the kooky calamities in this town, knowing what I know now.
Well, what is on the agenda today?
Today? I've got to go into town and see if I can find another coffee maker. This darn percolator's busted on me.
Why not just get a siphon?
Oh, come, Daniel. That's likely to burst. With all the distraction in this town, are you shitting me?
Hardly, Andre. I haven't the innards. Yes, I agree. A percolator is much safer.
But what shall I do in the meantime?
You're a ghost. You have the ability. Go and see that Mrs. Muir of yourn, and let her know what's going on. But mind you, you needn't tell her about all my whereabouts.
Then what do I tell her, Andre?
I'm recalling that imagination of yours, Daniel. You'll figure it out. Blasted Frenchman. Though, I suppose he isn't so much of one now. I shall stroke my beard in consternation. And now we take you to the woods, between Collinwood proper and the old house. David.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down. That's terrible! Just thinking about her makes me want to sing that song. It drives me crazy. Who's there? Who is it?
It is only I, Master David.
Wadsworth! Oh, thank heavens! What have you got there?
Ah, well, let us walk on back to Collinwood, and I shall explain.
All right.
Now, young man, you know that there is a lot of talk about this estate and all the various secret ideas that go on in Collinsport.
Tell me about it.
I shall, and do so thusly. You see, in order to be sure we have our fresh supplies to prepare for meal times, we need a number of delivery services. However, this estate, with its history and tales among the neighbors, the men who deliver these goods are a bit squeamish to come here. We do have one service for the main house, and another for the old house. They brave the estate's uncertain, dramatic structure, though neither brings the same goods, and either one lack the courage to deliver to both. So this is my usual daily walk, to make the exchange with Mrs. Johnson, you see?
Oh, yes. In fact, it's nice to see you. It's like there's a basic pattern as you go. Something to rely on as well. Wadsworth, do you enjoy working here? Or is it only a job to you?
Only a job? No, Master David. It presents me with puzzles and the challenge of bringing a sense of order to each home I've worked for. As for working here especially, I find it quite pleasant. Such places are beginning to dwindle, I'm afraid. But what about you, sir? Do you have a delivery exchange of your own?
No, not really. I'm just walking around in the woods trying to find a strange friend.
Elusive, Master David?
Yes, elusive. What with all the town talk, and not going to the public school. Not that I'd want to, really. It's not like I have a lot of friends.
Indeed. I can understand. But that song you were singing...
Oh, don't remind me. I am so sick of that song. I wish I could get her to sing another one.
Her? You mean Sarah?
Say, do you know about her?
I know of her, certainly. Her knowledge of music must range from very long ago, Master David. I would wager it would be wise to entice her with a song from, well, one that was known about 2 centuries past.
Oh, how can I find out about those? If I hear London Bridges one more time, I'm going to explode!
Oh, yes, Master David. That is a tough case. I wonder if she can be persuaded to remember another song.
Incense and Peppermints?
Oh, no. She wouldn't know that one, I'm sure.
Or... Penny Lane?
No, no. I... Pennies. Ah, there's the house. Let's go in and see about some old sheet music. Though I mustn't stay long.
And while Wadsworth and Master David are racking their brains over various tunes, we return to Victoria and Peter on the opposite coast.
This is it?
This is it!
Looks like a corner brew pub from the British Isles.
Huh?
The way the entrance seems to stick out of the corner. Not to mention all the fog that's only emitting from the sides of this house in particular.
Well, you haven't been inside yet.
Peter, if I had to pick between Twin Peaks and the Bates Motel, I'd say this was a good deal in between.
Have you got the letter?
Of course. Why do you ask?
It's always good to arrive with an invitation, darling.
From inside the house. Say, I heard the word darling.
Huh. It must be our newlyweds, Gomez. Oh, my. I think I'm going to cry.
Nonsense. You cry at weddings. These two have already been married.
Yes, you're right, my dear.
Must keep a stiff lower lip. That's the spirit. Oh, do beg pardon. It's all right, Lurch. I should greet our guests. Welcome. Please come in. It is Peter Bradford, isn't it?
Yes. Sir, are you Gomez Adams?
In the flesh, and hopefully not too fresh. And you must be the blushing bride.
Yes, Mr. Adams. Oh, well, thank you. I don't think I've had my hand kissed since we left home weeks ago.
Ah, and now I must introduce you to my lovely wife, Morticia.
Welcome. I've looked so forward to meeting you. Please, Victoria, come and have a seat. We have cocktails all waiting.
Oh, are they supposed to steam like that?
Of course. Now, Victoria Bradford, is it?
Actually, no. I've been keeping my maiden name.
Oh.
So your name is?
My name is Victoria Winters.
Yes! She finally said it!
Truly. Now, we must hush.
Oh, my. That is indeed chilly. Lovely. I'd have a hard time giving that one up, too.
Well, the real reason is that I want to make sure anyone who might be related to me can find me. You see, I'm an orphan.
An orphan?
Oh, please. I hope that hasn't shocked you.
An orphan? Gomez, darling! This fine lady is an orphan!
Oh, is she? Marvelous! All the rage, you know.
Are you serious?
Of course. Here, have a cocktail.
Is it very strong?
Of course. No skimping on that account.
There, you see?
Have you truly no idea of your background or parentage, my dear?
None whatsoever. I'm glad that's not a problem for you.
Hardly. It is romantic, isn't it?
I suppose. It would be romantic to find a splendid past, but now it's such a mystery.
And what brings you out here?
Oh, the place where we used to live. You see, there were a lot of troubles there. It was a very prominent estate. In that little town.
Where was it?
Collinsport, Maine. I'm sure you've never heard of it.
Oh.
You mean you have heard of it?
Yes. Quite the place, indeed.
I hope it's no reflection on us.
Quite the contrary. From my knowledge, everyone there has full, rich lives.
But continually, they pretend otherwise.
Pretend?
Oh, well, I never thought of it that way. Is that a shawl you're making, Mrs. Adams?
Why, yes. Not quite finished. Do you like it?
Well, it is a bit Victorian.
Then you shall have it.
Me?
Yes, your namesake. You said so yourself. And it'll prove to keep you warm in the cold and cool in the warm.
Well, thank you very much. Now, what were you saying about the residence of Collinsport?
Switching back to the residence of said Collinsport, and in the evening...
Well, how are you, Mr. Peterson?
Pleased to see you, ma'am. May I come in?
Certainly. Come into the drawing room. Have a seat. Just checking to see if the coast is clear.
Oh, whatever for.
Oh, stop. Ever since we went on our shenanigans mission.
Feeling like a kid again, eh?
Truly. Oh my gosh. How about you?
Yep. I have to say, after going through those depositions most of the day, I kept smiling at the thought of all that. And you.
Thanks. You know, it's funny. I've had some wild times in the last year or so, but when I'm with you, for some reason, I notice this more innocent, ticklish side to me comes out.
Well, you know why that is, don't you?
Because so far our dates have turned into spontaneous scenarios.
Well, that too. But I don't know if you remember how I felt about you.
Oh, I remember you telling me.
And then I remember hearing about you with Buzz later.
Old hat! Like I said, those wild times. And now?
Things are better?
Definitely more fun. I will say that. Not a crazy fun, but a sort of mysterious one. There goes old Quaverton. 9 o'clock and all is well.
Old Quaverton?
Oh, that's the clock.
You named your clock?
Oh, I didn't. It's a family tradition, much underused lately, as I come to think of it. It's had mechanical problems over the decades. Used to make a quavering ring when I was little. Actually, it tends to repeat that problem until someone fixes it. It's been in this house since the first day it was lived in.
And the time is accurate?
Well, Mrs. Johnson used to phone the time and temperature every morning, but I noticed that Cousin Barnabas's valet, Wadsworth, has been doing it when he comes by in the mornings, sometimes. I know it gets checked regularly, so yes, I believe it's very accurate.
Very good. So?
So?
Would you do me the honor of...
another date? Tonight?
Of course.
That depends. Is it a bowling party? Or a square dance? Or a record concert?
Or a swim meet? Or a weenie roast? Or a museum field trip?
Or a bike trip to Rock Point? Or... an art lecture?
Oh, no, it's none of those. But darn it, you are as amazing on the inside as on the outside. I can't take it!
Wow, Master, what is that?
That is a pouncing makeout scene on the Davenport, and we're not zoned for it.
Oh well, let's enjoy it.
As do they.
Having fun?
Oh, Mother.
Carolyn, as an upstanding member of this community, I would expect... Oh, never mind. At least it's not Buzz.
Mother, are you... Look! She's laughing!
I'm not laughing. That's just
a simper?
Exactly, Mr. Peterson. Perhaps I am lost in a personal memory.
Should I be worried?
Pshaw!
Mr. Peterson, I can only ask...
Yes, madame?
You needn't be so formal.
Oh, yes, pardon me, Mrs. Stoddard.
I can only ask, well, how do you feel toward Carolyn? Is it honorable?
What? Seriously? I can assure you my intentions are quite honorable, if a little tipsy.
Mr. Peterson!
And would you call it love?
Well, Mrs. Stoddard, how about adoration? I certainly have that.
Ah, it'll do. Besides, I overheard a bit of the conversation. Sounds like you two express some genuine affection between the in-jokes. As uplifting as all this is, though... My goodness! Don't young people do these things in automobiles now?
Not if we think the doors are closed.
Well, that is true. I did rather two-handedly thrust both doors open like a matron of the manor.
You are matron of the manor, Mother.
You know what I mean. It's just as well you have arrived. I need a lawyer to go over some property rights.
Oh, well, that is kind of you to consider my skills, but we...
I suppose I'll answer that, as matronly as I am, and without enough house staff.
Ah, Mr. Collins. I should have recognized you any... Wait a minute. You're not supposed to...
Not supposed to what? Open my own door?
I'm sorry. I'd heard you were... Well, that you'd sadly passed away. Mrs. Stoddard, is it?
Yes. And I haven't passed away. And the presumption in my doorway is rather disturbing, as I don't know who you are to begin with.
Oh, I am sorry, madam. Please accept my heartfelt apologies.
Accepted. With reservations.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I am Nicholas Blair.
You say that as though it's supposed to mean something to me.
Cassandra's brother!
Hmm? Quite a surprise. An extraordinary surprise. Do step in. Mind you, that is not an invitation. Just a courtesy.
Oh, I imagine... Huh?
Carolyn.
Yes, Mother?
This is Cassandra's brother. Can you find your uncle and tell him he has a caller?
Oh, all right. Master, is he our master?
No, I'm afraid not. He's fairly well off in the realms of Tartarus, but beyond that...
He's not Satan?
No, and believe me, we are not alone in the disappointment of it.
What's all this, then? Oh, fine attire. Gloves, even. Well, aren't you just the dandy?
Roger, this is Cassandra's brother, Nicholas Blair.
It is good to see Collinwood. Cassandra has written me so much about it.
Oh, has she? Could I get you a drink?
No. I don't have little vices.
Mr. Blair, this is Mr. Peterson.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do?
You seem familiar.
I think Cassandra mentioned you in her letters also.
Oh, no. That must be mixed up with someone else.
Now, let's get to these papers.
Yes, Mr. Peterson. Please stay. We may need your skills in this matter.
Yep. This was what Mr. Evans meant by the oh-wait-but-this scenario.
You see, Mr. Blair, Cassandra has been missing, and I have the documents here from this envelope.
I don't follow.
Well, I'm in the middle of an annulment.
Annulment? To Cassandra? On what grounds?
Oh, abandonment, being under the influence. Lack of consummation. Deception and, of course, clandestinity.
But this is absurd. I was sure my sister was safely on this estate. But if there is this mockery going on...
Will you please sign here?
Absolutely not.
Well, in that case, we have no further business. Cassandra has been missing for weeks, and I'm of the understanding she shan't be back.
This is preposterous. I expected a man of your stature to grant me...
Oh? A man of my stature to grant you... What? A house on the estate? Rent-free? Sitting around waiting for my soon-to-be non-wife to make a convenient appearance? No. If you are not going to help with this, I must ask you to leave.
Mrs. Stoddard!
This way, Mr. Blair.
But, where shall I stay? Can you give me no inkling of where she might be?
Well, she is your sister, Mr. Blair. You yourself might have a better deduction of her whereabouts. We've hardly known her for the month she was here. And if you insist on staying in Collinsport, there is the Collinsport Inn.
Well, I...
Good evening, Mr. Blair, and good luck.
Well, that was just plain bizarre.
I'll say, but terribly nice to see for a change.
Yes, very good, sister.
Oh, I've been dying to throw someone out of this house since those nasty nightmares came into it.
Roger, will you please pour me a brandy?
Certainly. Mr. Peterson?
Oh, no. I think we'll be going soon.
Kitten?
Hmm? Oh, no, thank you, Uncle Roger. We must be going.
Well, enjoy your date, you two.
And, Mr. Peterson, we'll be hoping for your sound advice involving a piece of property soon. I hope we see you again in short order.
Of course. Mrs. Stoddard? Mr. Collins?
Good evening.
Good evening.
What the devil did we just witness?
Devil is right, but not a very convincing one. Anyway, where are we off to?
Well, if that man isn't lurking outside in a vent of frustration, we need to see Mr. Evans.
Ah, oh, has he finished the painting?
I believe so. Your uncle has sure changed.
For the better, I hope. He's much more relaxed. Now let's take a peek.
Do you see him out there?
Now, do you see him?
No.
Race you to the car?
On your mark. Get set. Go!
Meanwhile, the evening progressing, we take you to the Eagle the Blue Whale.
Hiya, Maggie. What'll it be?
Rum and cola, Bob.
Ah, well. Not your usual poison.
No. But I'm feeling a bit different tonight.
Here you go, Maggie. And, wow. Half dollars. Any special change? Dimes and a nickel, or...
Just a quarter. I'll need it for the jukebox.
Righto. Here you are.
I'll be putting in my song.
if a dashing old-world gentleman with a cane wanders in. Can you point him in my direction?
Ah, sure, Maggie. Not a big crowd tonight, anyway. Looks like it's just you and me so far.
I noticed that, too. Worried about losing your usual earnings?
Nah. It's nice to finally have some quiet around here. I gotta say, I barely make even sometimes having to clean up the joint with all the fistfights and knives I'm used to seeing in this place.
Uh-huh. I remember hearing how gruesome it gets here. But then again, even a good drink has that effect on people.
True. I should have listened to my dad when he mentioned getting into tailoring.
You and me both.
Really? Ah, well. Any seats open to you here. You just enjoy yourself.
Thanks, Punchy.
May I have this dance, Miss Evans?
Ah, Mr. Collins. I thought you'd never ask.
Concert know this type of music very well. Doing well so far. I'm able to follow. Feeling well, my dear.
Now that you're here, nice change.
I know a few dances. With this playing out, I've got to guess.
Yep, this seems a bit of the tango.
Ah, that's what you call it.
Did you come here from the coffee shop?
No. I knew. I had a feeling. You were here instead.
Ah. And had the urge for a dance with a working girl?
Oh. You are much more than that.
That was refreshing. Reminds me of something. Not sure what.
Don't you?
Now, what does that knowing grin mean?
Just enjoying the company.
Not missing the coffee shop?
No. Are you?
No.
My cousin David tells me he's looking forward to having you as his new governess.
Oh, good. It's always nice to hear of welcome beyond my own talk with him.
Now tell me, have you worked everything out there and at home?
Well, yes. The manager is fine with my coming in for a few hours after 6 o'clock. Mrs. Stoddard let me know I needn't make early mornings unless I want to move in. I doubt I'll want to do that.
Wise decision. And you can always change your mind.
Quite. And I wanted to ask you, I'm going to get a bit confounded, I think. Which Mr. Collins shall I keep calling Mr. Collins?
I hope it isn't me.
Even on the estate?
Even there. If anyone finds it inappropriate, then... Oh dear.
What is it?
Well, I was going to say have them discuss it with me. But then there were those conversations... I dread.
Oh, if it isn't convenient.
No, It's not so much that, but remember before Wadsworth arrived?
I do. It's almost like the wind changed direction. I know it didn't, but...
It seemed like everyone on the estate and beyond. We all had these inanely indefatigable conversations upon a single point. I just became concerned the conversation style might return on such a topic.
Well, let's not have that type of discussion now. I'll call you by your first name, or your whole name, and if anyone has any trouble, I'll just follow their lead.
Not a problem.
Well, you've just seen me in action. I can follow a lead. Besides, why would anyone have any trouble? It's not like we're dating or something.
Oh, we're not?
I don't remember you asking me out. Now those two...
Oh, Cousin Carolyn and Mr. Peterson. They seem to be in a bit of a hurry.
Well, they should be. They're supposed to be meeting Pop tonight. But that's not what I mean. Look at how they're almost glowing.
It is curious.
Is that a date? It is, but not for that reason. They planned it out a bit, and the intention is obvious. But that's not what you and I have, I think.
Oh, had I too abruptly asked you for a dance?
Didn't seem like it at the time. I think what we have is a mystery, though. No one could prove, however, that we've been dating. You see?
Ah, I see now. I understand your meaning.
And out they go again. But yes, we're friends. With a mystery.
Would you like to help me unravel that mystery?
Time enough for that. For now, just keep me company. I want to stay a while before going home. I need to stay out of Pop's way while those two are over there.
Do you have any idea what's happened to them? They certainly seem as much themselves as ever, alone.
Yes, it's a bit of the playfulness. He liked her years ago, and I suspect she was curious about him. Then, of course, everyone goes about graduating school and doing their own thing. So I guess they have an old spark that finally lit. With all that comes all those things they may have played with as kids. But perhaps with the thrill of making those adult decisions?
Very intriguing. Complex, too. Would you say they are making up for lost time as well?
Making up for lost time? Yes. I think I would.
Then I understand entirely.
Knowingly, too, from the looks of it.
You see through me almost completely, Maggie Evans.
Do I? I guess it's a knack. I'm hardly trying.
Keep it up.
And somewhere on the road...
Professor, are you sure he knows we're coming to see him?
Of course. I posted the letter 3 days ago. It shouldn't take any longer than that. Besides, you had to decipher his script to know he was eager to have a visitor.
Well, many of our patients are eager to have any visitor. I'm just not sure he understands why this is happening. It might upset his treatment.
Doctor, it is part of Mr. Loomis's treatment, I think.
I'm still concerned about that one phrase. Couldn't figure out if it was a Q or an F.
Which is precisely why we are doing all of this. That man must learn penmanship.
But why penmanship?
Well, he's got to have something. Something that communicates.
What about, well, proper speech? Improve his vocabulary, that kind of thing?
I'll approach that side of things, but in writing.
Yes. But don't you think you should help him with his manner of speaking before calligraphy?
It is my belief that to try and change that would be pushing him too far. The written word he's at least become curious about.
since he's had to perform more of it at Wincliff.
Still, I'm just suggesting... well...
Doctor, and I do call you Dr. Hoffman. I am no Professor Higgins, but keep up this line of suggesting, and I will be determined to call you Colonel Pickering.
All right, all right. I must say I'm losing my touch if you could find that association before I did.
And our last stop of the night, the Collinsport Inn.
How grievous an entrance! A room, a single room! And no Cassandra. This town was supposed to be easier. Beelzebub, what a crock and a half!
We told you it wasn't going to be a skip across hot coals.
Oh, don't rub it in. No one to manipulate or insinuate secrets out of. These people are becoming almost blissful in their ignorance. Not only are they not trying to hide anything, but there doesn't seem to be a scrap of guilt or the gut-wrenching worry I expected.
You still have to find Angelique. We don't want to lose her.
Yes, yes. I can but try.
Whoa, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, little devil. Whoa, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, little devil. Hey, little devil, you're always running around.
Hey, little devil.
It's time that someone started taming you down.
Hey, little devil.
There'll be some changes made. You're old.
Due respect to The Kids in the Hall, Clue, 1980s film, Coronet Instructional Films, The Addams Family, 1960s TV show, The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, 1960s TV show, Santo and Johnny Farina, and of course, Dark Shadows, 1960s TV show.